You are now listening to the Two Dads Run podcast, just two dads who run, talking about running and being dads and some other stuff.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Two Dads Run podcast. I'm Gray.
This is Kevin.
And we are back for another week. Kind of hard to believe it is already episode 10, man.
Yeah, no, it's been fun. You know, the last episode, especially with Coach Autry, was a really fun one. It took us down memory lane, kind of rejuvenated some of those, those juices as far as like, yeah, this is why I did it. And within the last week, you know, there's been some pretty cool things that have happened between you and I. And, what's been going on new with you since the last time we spoke, man?
Well, quite a bit, actually. But I did want to thank, before I get into too far deep into that, I did want to thank everyone that listened and gave us, your feedback.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, from the Autry episode, we were kind of a little peek behind the curtain. We were a little worried that maybe we had taken too far a trip down memory lane. God, easy for me to say. But
you've only had one glass of wine.
Not even one. I've had like half a glass. Yeah. But, it was really cool to hear from a lot of our old teammates and classmates and stuff like that Autry made such a big impact on. So, definitely thank you to all of you guys for listening and for taking the time to, send Kevin and I some words of praise. Yeah, we like that.
No, exactly. It was fun, because I think the concern was is that Coach would take it into where like it was an Uncle Rico type story. And I definitely did not want it to go there, but so that was fun. And so new stuff. So it's been kind of cool to hear, cause I obviously keep messaging each other, but why don't you tell everybody kind of like what's been going on new the last week, man?
Yeah. So, hearing Kevin talk about racing in the Patagonian and interviewing Ben Canute, and you guys have heard me mention Chad a couple of times. He's racing in Chattanooga, I think a week from this weekend. Weekend after next, I guess. And I pulled the trigger and bought a bike. Nice. Bought a tri bike. Found a pretty nice used one on Marketplace. Just so happens it was
what kind?
In my size, Cervelo.
Yep.
So Cervelo P2C, I guess, which means the carbon version.
That's a classic, man. It's a beauty.
Yeah. So it's been around for a while, but, it still rides pretty well, and got it fitted and all that good stuff, and signed up for my first triathlon. So I'm doing the Wrightsville Beach Sprint Triathlon in late September. And I signed up for it before I went for my first lap swim, because I may not have signed up for it had I done the swim first. But that was quite the humbling experience. But I'm proud to announce I have a coach, and he's sitting right across from me, Mr. Kevin Sullivan.
That's right. You heard it here, folks. So I will be able to flex the USA Triathlon coaching certification on my partner in crime here, Gray. So it's going to be fun, man. And you mentioned that you signed up for the YMCA Wrightsville Beach Sprint, and there's a couple of people that I've been talking to about that, but that was one of my favorite races. I did that with Pio 1 year, and I actually forgot my goggles, and you're in an intercoastal, in the intercoastal waterway, and it's salt water. So I forgot my goggles. Either it was him. I think it was him. He had another pair of cheap goggles, and so I could race in. And literally within the first three strokes into the swim, goggles leaking in, like if you're in a little submarine, and just salt water getting in your eyes, and it was just like on fire, and you're swimming in. So that's a cool thing, man. Like you swim into the sunrise. So, but the sun's straight in your face, especially when you're wearing the goggles. But if you're not wearing goggles, like I was, and you got salt in your eyes, you're just swimming out like nonstop, and you're like this, what you should probably be like an elegant swimmer, but you're just this monster. It's like, I can't see type deal coming out of the water. So, but anyways, outside of swimming, it's a great race.
I will say that the swim is a really humbling experience. So I'm not out of shape. I mean, I'm not that far removed from my half marathon. Haven't done a ton of running since then. But still, I mean, I'm not coming straight off the couch, and man, what a humbling experience that was. I swam 25 meters and thought I was going to die. I was grabbing onto the wall.
Was there a lifeguard on duty?
Oh yeah. And she's probably, and you know, it's like 7:30 in the morning on a Saturday. It's 50 degrees outside. And so the water was pretty cold. And that was the first time I'd been in a pool to swim a lap since probably 93 or 94 when my dad basically made me join a swim team. So I hadn't done this in God knows how long.
Yeah.
Right. And so I hop in and I'm like, I'm just going for it. I grabbed that wall like my life depended on it. And I won't do
like
it.
Like a newborn in the water for the first time. Man,
I mean, just absolutely dying. And I'm sitting there going, okay, how the hell am I going to get back? You know, how am I going to make it all the way back to the other end? You know, so I've got my arms going as fast as they'll go. I'm kicking as hard as I can kick. I'm trying to breathe like every third stroke, like I'm some Olympic athlete or something. I mean, and just absolutely dying. So after about 10 minutes of this, you know, taking a couple strokes, having to stop, you know, stand up in the pool and everything, I get down to the end where the lifeguard is. I look up and I'm like, you know what? You swimmers got it going on, man. This shit is hard, you know? And She just kind of looks and laughs, you know, she just kind of looks down and laughs because she's already seen me, you know, flailing about.
Oh, yeah.
Meanwhile, on the other
end. There's no secret she's the better swimmer.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And on the other end of the pool is an older guy in a Speedo, and homeboy is just cruising right along. Yeah. He's just, I mean, I don't think he stopped the whole time I was there. And just from one end to the other, and then one end to the other. So yeah, it's probably a good thing I signed up for that race prior to that that event, because not sure I would have signed up with as much enthusiasm as I did. But yeah, I mean it's and that was whatever, that's what you were saying, you know, and that's what Chad was saying, is that, you know, that swim is a different ball game. So yeah, man, it was a humbling experience, but I got a lot of time, 4.5 months, so, and I got a great coach.
That's what I'm talking about. So
coach me to whip his ass.
Well, and that's the funny thing too, because that'll be a race where, yeah, so I will set up a 16-week coaching plan for you leading up to that race day. But that'll be my first sprint triathlon on my schedule, as that leads me to the Patagonia in Chile. So that'll be a fun day, because it'll be student versus coach, friends versus friends, yep. And you and I are both hyper competitive, and
be our first time competing against each other fall of 2000.
And it's equal, you know what? And it's equal playing field. You know, from what I think, I mean, it'll be, you know, the run, you're definitely stronger than I am right now in the run. And then in the swim, so you can't judge a swimmer by its cover. So
unreal, dude.
I'm telling you, I see more like guys, like if you just saw like, you know, just out of shape, you know, just because of the size. I mean, yeah. but these guys are freaking like dolphins in the water. And so you can never judge a swimmer by his cover. And I challenge anybody to say I'm wrong about that. Cause I'm sure like how you are right now, you go into the pool, or if you were to line up at a triathlon with your kit and everything, people probably be like, oh man, like this guy's good. But, and then you see
a hot mess,
you know? And then, yeah, no, it's funny.
Well, no, and it's funny that you say that. Cause when I got to me and the older guy that was swimming laps got to the pool at the same time. And when, you know, like, again, I mentioned it was probably about 50 degrees. So it's pretty chilly out. And old boy, like stripped down to his Speedo. And he, you know, he was an older gentleman, he, you know, rocking kind of the old dad bod. And I'm like, yeah, we'll see what this guy can do. And there he goes, just going right along. But I will say that I went back on Monday. It was a slower Monday than normal at work. So I was like, hey, I'm going to, you know, the Y is right down the street. So I'm going to hop out of here real quick. And I signed up for some lane time and ran home. My house is right in between work and the Y. And so I ran home, grabbed my bag, grabbed my goggles and all that kind of stuff. I remembered my goggles and, and my coach forgot his goggles.
Definitely learn.
Dude, as a digression here, my bag will be packed like 4 days prior to the race, because
I'll have a checklist for you.
Trust me.
I mean, you'll have your own.
I am a complete obsessive personality when it comes to that kind of stuff. Like when I competed in powerlifting, my bag was packed 3 days prior. And I mean, and it stayed that way. And I would check it every single day, not having touched it. No one else has touched it, but I had to know that it was all still there. So I get a little OCD about that kind of stuff. Anyway.
But that's good though. That's definitely good, especially in the triathlon world.
And there's so much gear.
There's so much stuff that you have to like mentally prepare yourself for. Yeah. I mean, because there is so much gear.
Yeah, there's a ton of it. I'm learning this. It's just little by little.
It's like death by a thousand cuts, man.
Beat me to it. But yeah, so I ended up going back on Monday and had a much better experience. I was able to make it to 25 meters and then swim back all in one go. Did that a couple times. And I made it there and halfway back even more times than I made it. So we're getting there, man. We're baby steps. Again, that was my second lap swim since probably 1993, 94, something like that. So, again, plenty of time.
Well, no, I mean, that's kick-ass, man. Definitely, as I say for a lot of my friends, the Charlie and all them, they would be like, always say, hey, man, definitely proud of you. But seriously, because not too many 39-year-old guys are going off and challenging themselves in something completely brand new. And something as far as like hopping in the swimming pool, that can be a little intimidating. And everything that you're biting off right now is pretty damn intimidating. So, hell yeah, man. Looking forward to it. So you asked Ben Canute. And by the way, he's in Tokyo right now with the rest of the USA Triathlon team. So, if Ben, if you're in the airport in Tokyo, somewhere you're listening, good luck to you.
Absolutely.
But you asked him an infamous question that it'll probably, be on a t-shirt like you were making fun of my ass. So you're starting to see, I think, is that what sport do you hate?
That's an easy question. And it was.
I'll ask you what sport right now.
Oh, I could have told you that the answer to that question before I even thought about doing a triathlon. It's the swim. It'll always be the swim.
Okay.
And I mean, I'm not a big fan of being wet, which I guess is kind of counterintuitive to wanting to swim almost 3/4 of a mile. But yeah, I mean, swim is just, it's not really something that I typically enjoy. But one thing, if you don't already know this about me, is that when I feel like I can't do something, now it's a challenge. That's how the aquarium hobby got started. That's how the powerlifting, competition thing got started. Kristen talked me into joining a gym when she was pregnant with Charlotte. And I went into the gym that first day and I put, 135 on the bar for bench press and I grinded out two really ugly, sloppy reps. I put 135 on the bar in the squat rack and grinded out two ugly, really bad reps. I was 145 pounds soaking wet and I'm 6'1". Okay. So it was like, okay, challenge, so let's get this, see how strong I can get and what kind of weight I can do. And I eventually kind of surpassed any expectation that I ever had for myself. Aquariums, same thing. Bought Charlotte a betta fish for her 5th birthday. Killed that thing in 48 hours. Knew nothing about fish. I'd never had one in my life. And now I currently have like 370 gallons worth of aquariums in my garage. So whenever I feel like I can't do something, it's like, okay, game on. I have to conquer this before I can, and to conquer it to my satisfaction before I can kind of move on to something else. So the swim is going to be my bitch for the next 4 months or whatever it is until the race.
And then it's going to become your favorite discipline out of all of those. Because I'll tell you, that's what it starts off with. It starts off with the one that you dislike the most because you knew so much or you knew so little about it. And it was tough. Or
suck so bad at it.
And you suck so bad at it and you hate to get your ego kind of bruised a little bit like that. But it becomes very humbling. And I'll tell you, mine was cycling. I hated it. And then like, I knew I needed to get a bike, but I hadn't, outside of riding maybe a BMX from when I was 7 and then, riding a bike just whenever, I didn't really care for cycling at all. But something like, okay, I can swim because I swam competitively growing up and running as well. So I'm like, fuck, if I can just learn how to bike, I think I could be good at this and I might like it. So I hated it, but I threw myself into like what you're doing right now, man. And then I became a huge fan, Tour de France fan, like every year, 4th of July weekend, all the way through July. So I came from where you're at with swimming to like, watch, especially the Summer Olympics, dude, you're going to be loving the swimming on there. You'll be like, hell yeah.
No, I mean, and I always, you know, watch the swim, even though I'm a huge Olympics nerd. I just love it. You know, I think there's a lot of me's out there in this regard because, I mean, it's something that only happens 4 years. These are sports that most of America only cares about every 4 years. Unless you compete in it, it's kind of a niche thing. So, you know, but what you're saying about cycling, I think I'm going to be there as well. I mean, because you and I were having a conversation over the last day or two about the bike. And I mean, I haven't been on a bike either. You know, so I was getting my fitting done and one of the guys goes, well, is this normal? I was like, this is the first time I've been
Tell me about that. Tell me about how the fitting go. Cause you had that a few days ago.
Yeah. So, you know, it was great. The guys over at Inside Out Sports did an awesome job. They're just so cool and so welcoming. I explained to them that I was a total noob and didn't know anything. And I never felt like they were trying to take advantage of me. I felt like they were really trying to be totally helpful and get me in a good spot. So Brooks did my fitting and he was really, really cool. You know, we talked about, you know, the clips on the shoes and things like that. And he's like, look, dude, you're going to fall over. He's like, this is all there is to it. Yeah. He said, you know, I got signed to a cycling team out of college. And I was on a $10,000 bike on the very first training ride. We were 5 minutes in, rolled up to a stoplight, and I forgot to unclip, and I dropped a $10,000 bike. Oh, he said, I looked at the coach and said, should I just give the bike back now, or how does this work? And I was like, okay, well, that makes me feel a little better. And I'm like, I'm so neurotic about the clips. Is, you know, I didn't fall the first time because I was like, I have to unclip. So anyway, so, you know, it was great. He and Mike worked together to get a really good fit for me. At one point,
by the way, you will fall.
Oh yeah.
Everyone has fallen.
Yeah. I totally expect to fall, but you know, there's definitely, you know, aside from the actual fitness part of it, there's a definite fear factor because you get on these bikes, man, and these things roll. This is not a BMX or a mountain bike, you know, that you bought from Target. Like these things roll and you're on these tiny little wheels and you're cruising, man. And I'll tell you, they sent me out on the road, you know, after they kind of got me to where they thought was a good fit. And they sent me out on the road and I went out there and it was not a busy street. It's like a little side street and it's a mile down and a mile back. And the first time a car came by me, bro, I lost my shit. It scared me so bad.
Yeah.
And like I almost ran up on the curb on those tiny little tires and I had to get off the bike for a minute. And I was like, okay.
That's how close the car like, came to you.
I mean, it wasn't even all that close, but as a runner, I'm safely on the sidewalk, right? So yeah. I don't have cars coming anywhere close to me. And this was a wide enough road. They could easily go around me, but it was such a foreign feeling. And then once you kind of get used to that, it's like, okay, well, now you're rolling along. You hit the first downhill, and I mean, you're flying. And that's some scary shit. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just like, you're sitting there just watching the pavement fly by thinking, you know, if I crash, this is going to hurt really bad.
And you have a triathlon bike, which you're just learning for the first time. Were you in the aero position when you were going?
For most of it, no. I've typically reserved the aero for like, you know, at least until I get comfortable with it for when it's more of like a flatter uphill kind of situation. Although I know the aero is meant for the complete opposite of that. Like
it's just for the entire ride. You're in the aero.
Yeah. Well, whatever, you know,
it's going to take you time just like clipping in and out. That's going to come in due time. So you just have to practice and making sure that. And what I would do is I would find maybe a school parking lot.
Yeah.
Or just like an empty parking lot, like a restaurant parking lot, and just and just ride around in circles and messing with the gears and getting out, like getting from your hands are in the bullhorns and you get into the aero, ride around, mess with the gears, and then pull up, just getting back in and out, and even take a, you know, did you get a water cage on it?
I did.
Okay, yeah. So putting a water bottle in there.
It's on the aero bars.
Oh, you did.
Pretty dope, yeah. Oh. That's at Mike's suggestion. But, and one thing, and Mike was like,
because I told you that, and yeah. I didn't think that you'd be ready for that. All right.
Well, no, so I was like, you know, we'll put it there, because you already had the little mounting, you know, holes there. And he was like, no, let's put it on the bars. He's like, that'll be easier for you. And I was like, cool, man. You know, do it. Whatever you think is better. So, yeah, I mean, and it was funny because so Brooks calls Mike over and he's like, you know, Mike, take a look at this fit and let me know what you think. So they both stand there and they're just silent, you know, as I'm pedaling along on the trainer. And then like 30 seconds goes by and I'm like, what is going on? And then finally Mike goes, bro, you have got the longest legs I've seen in a really long time. Because I was like, they were having trouble because I guess I was kind of choking up on the aero bars, on the bullhorns or whatever.
Which the aero bars or the...
So it was the aero bars.
Okay.
I was choking down, I guess, on the aero bars.
So you're like...
Yeah.
Close to your chest a little bit.
And so Mike was like, dude, if he misgears, he's going to slam into his elbows. And then I guess I unwittingly, you know, move my hands. And he's like, Gray, is that normal? And I said, Mike, this is the second time I've ever been on this bike. There is no normal. And he's like, what? I was like, yeah, dude, I'm brand new. Just, you know, tell me what I need to be doing. So, yeah, they gave me some pointers and it was really cool. And they were just super nice and patient with me. You know, Chad had told me to ask a lot of questions. I'm like, dude, I don't even know what questions to ask. I mean, of course, some came up and, you know, I left feeling comfortable. I haven't had an opportunity to go out for a ride yet. I'm a little nervous to do it by myself. So I think, you know, I want to wait for an opportunity to get out with you or Chad or they have a group at Inside Out Sports as well that goes for like a 25-mile ride and they have a beginner's group. So a no drop group. So I'm probably go with them. The downside is it's Tuesdays at 6 o'clock, which is we record
this this time.
Yeah, we record on Tuesdays typically at 8:30. So, you know, it's a little tight, but I'll get out there and just kind of do some. I want to go when then the traffic's not crazy.
Tuesday, Cary, North Carolina.
I know. 6 o'clock is, well, it doesn't necessarily have to
be Tuesday. It's just a large group. It's a large group. That's why it makes it safer.
Safety in numbers.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So, you know, there's been a couple of times I've been close to taking it out, but I don't have lights on it yet. And I didn't want to get caught in the dark or, you know, whatever. So I may take it out in the morning. But tomorrow is my lovely bride's birthday. That's so we'll be celebrating her tomorrow, May 12th. So happy birthday, honey. And then, Thursday is Charlotte's birthday. So it's a busy, busy week. So training.
Happy birthday, Kristen and Charlotte this week.
Thank you. Yeah, so, you know, training will have to get kind of, you know, crowbarred in wherever it can fit. And like today, I got up at 6 and went for a run this morning.
Very good.
So, yeah.
How far did you go?
5 miles.
Not bad. I mean, rough. It's a beautiful morning, though, to be
out
there. Yeah,
it was really nice. It was like mid-50s, just absolutely gorgeous. So you went for a run today, too, yeah?
Man, I did two things new today so... Started up, so in preparation for this big race and really just trying to treat my body correctly a little bit more, I started picking up yoga. So I've been doing a little bit here and there.
But we've talked about this on the show, yeah? Yeah. Have you graduated from kids' classes?
Yes, so I'm no longer, I know, right? That's right, because I did that with the girls. And so I've been doing it here and there, and I was like, you know what? I need to get serious heading into my training, which is in about another month. So how do I get serious? It's something that, you know, I really want to continue to learn, you know, over the next, I guess, I'll be 40 next year. Fuck. So I'll be 40 next year. And what can I do to get better? So yoga. So I picked that up. Adrian and I picked it up. So we got up this morning at 5. We did some yoga and, yeah, so went straight to work. And then at lunch break, I was like, you know, I've been doing pretty good. This is about 7 weeks, 7-8 weeks now after post-race, post-injury. Been stretching, and I was like, you know, let me just go out and just try it out. And so I was kind of nervous because the last thing I wanted to feel was any pain, because then I knew that I definitely needed some more rest, and I don't have the patience right now to rest, because I watched another documentary. Actually, Adrian and I watched another documentary a couple of days ago, and it was a guy who did it himself, and he had a camera, like a GoPro, with him throughout the entire time, and it was just like, wow. So really taking this shit serious. And so went out and I was like, all right, ran, had a good run, did. All right. So for people that want to really know, I mean, like we're really being honest about each other. And so I did 2.68 miles. My heart rate was about 164 beats per minute. And my mile per hour was 914. I've never seen that in my entire life. Ever, ever.
So I'm not the only one with humbling experiences this week.
Exactly. So it was fun to just break a sweat and not have any pain. So it was good, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing how fast, you know, fitness can evaporate. You know, I texted Chad this morning. I got back from my I went 5 miles, and I mean, it was a very similar situation where I went, you know, I had run sporadically since my race, only two or three runs the last couple of weeks, two or three runs a week for the last couple of weeks after taking about 2 weeks off because my hip was kind of, you know, screaming at me a little bit. It had moved down into my quad. I was having some, what felt like the beginnings of plantar fasciitis on my left foot. So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to, you know, I don't have anything really on the horizon. And that was honestly one of the reasons why I was contemplating a triathlon to begin with, or at least a bike, you know, because I was like, look, if nothing else, I can, you know, ride the bike and it'll be a training supplement for the run. So I can get ready for my marathon, you know, if some injuries do pop up, which it's me, I'm going to get hurt. And, you know, so today going out for 5, I mean, similar. I was at like 8:10 a mile. And my heart rate was, I think the average was like 165. I mean, that's really high for that level of effort from what it would have been a month ago. So we both got some work to do, man, for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, it's fine, I think, to have those ups and downs. I think sometimes we just kind of forget, you know, where we're at in life and really how, you know, in speaking to quite a few other athletes, how, you know, having some time and some break in between to get the body healed up, you know, how important that is for you to have longevity with sport, and especially with triathlon, since there's a lot of impact with it, but in running too, you know, because like these last 7 weeks were mentally as tough as the damn race was, yeah. Because I just have to be active. I had to be inside for, a couple weeks, with Adria. Adria actually got COVID, and, you know, some people knew that, but, you know, we did our podcast virtual.
Yep.
But leading up to that, you know, I just couldn't go outside, couldn't run. And it's just the worst. And so I think that's what's been the motivation with yoga. So I can maybe teach the girls as well that, seriously, take care of your body before it's too late. And yeah. I feel like me, I'm like, there might be some tiny alarms going off. Like, hey, you know, yeah. You start treating your body well.
Well, and I mean, a lot of that discipline that comes with getting up at 5 a.m. in the morning and going to train and things like that also has to come into play when you're recovering from an injury or something like that, because you know, it almost has to be, and you were cautious to say, you know, if there was any pain at all, you know, you would shut it down. And so, you know, it's the same concept, right? It's that same discipline. You know, is this one run, you know, that will last 3 miles but could possibly set me back, you know, another 4 weeks? You know, is it worth it? So waiting the 8 weeks or whatever it was that you waited, you know, to get back out there and do it again definitely was a good move. And just, you know, I would say just keep a really close eye on it. And I probably need to take my own advice in that regard more often, because I'll tend to run through some stuff that I really probably shouldn't. But, you know, it's amazing how fast it'll go away. But it'll also come back, you know, it'll come back faster than we think. And it's, you know, it's humbling, and you're just like, God, I'm a better runner than this, or, you know, I think I can be better at this, you know? So it's hard to do that, but to know that it'll come back and that you'll be kind of where you were, you know, the before, and maybe another month or so,
yeah,
is, you know, kind of a good feeling to keep in the back of your mind. Cause yeah, I mean, you got some work to do, bro. We both do.
Yep. So what are you looking forward to, you know, the training program? You know, what are some of your goals that, when, you know, when it's all said and done after, I mean, granted your A race, so your prime race you've selected, which is the YMCA Wrightsville Beach one in September. But what is it that you want to, you know, more importantly, outside of completing the race, that you want to accomplish?
I mean, honestly, that's probably all I can say right now. I really don't have a great barometer of what, you know, a competitive swim time would be, or, I mean, obviously I know it for the running portion. It's a 5K. So, I mean, something that you and I have done 1,000 times. So I know what that pace is. I know what that pace feels like. I know what I'm capable of doing in that regard. Now I don't know what I'm capable of doing at this moment, sitting right here on May 11th of 2021. I don't know what I'm capable of running a 5K in after swimming 1150 meters and cycling for 11.5 miles. So, you know, I don't think I know enough at this point to have a big hairy audacious goal.
So why did you do it? So why did you want to do triathlon after all this?
You know, it's a new challenge. I mean, you know, the marathon was something that I was, you know, really kind of leaning hard towards. And I think that's still the ultimate goal, is to qualify for Boston. But I think the timing of it works out really well. You know, it's a great opportunity to build some fitness, to build some really excellent fitness without putting a whole lot of impact on my body. Yeah, you know, the running portion is still there, but it's not going to be nearly the mileage of training for a marathon. And for those of you in North Carolina or the Southeast, you know, summers here are freaking dreadful. You know, it's dew points of 73 degrees at 6 o'clock in the morning in the middle of July. So not really all that welcoming for running marathon training mileage. I would much rather do that in the winter. So I think the game plan moving forward will be, you know, to race triathlons in the late summer and fall. And then once that is done, switch over to training for marathons in the spring. So, I mean, right now, if I had to say a goal, it would just be to really just to finish in something, you know, and this will change obviously as I become more knowledgeable about my capabilities. But right now it's just to survive the swim, you know, survive the swim and have a good ride and a good run, you know, really that's all there is. I mean, so I will say this, I was going down the line, you and I were having a conversation about when I should sign up for this race. And you had mentioned, no, you're probably good until July. I was like, yeah, kind of doubt that. So I found the participant list on the website. And so I was going down and I was literally counting every single person down the line to see
counted. They didn't have a number there.
No, it wasn't like a spreadsheet where
the they lines, do that on purpose. Probably like, for yeah, guys like you.
Yeah, where the lines weren't numbered. So I'm literally going 1, 2, 3, 4. And so as I'm working my way down, I'm well into the 200s at this point. And there's a name that catches my eye. And it was Don Verity. Don Verity is one of the co-founders of my company, Clean Eats. And so Don is awesome. Great guy. Funny as hell. You know, definitely would never, you know, picture him to be the founder of this company that, you know, has 60 or 70 restaurants currently open, you know, 2 distribution centers in the United States that can ship to anywhere, you know, in the continental US. But he's also a, like, bodybuilder type, you know, built just, you know, short and just, you know, stocky, and just, you would never think that he would do anything endurance or speed based. And there his name was. And so I picked up my phone immediately. I was like, yo, are you doing the Wrightsville Beach sprint try? And he's like, yes, sir. And I was like, well, brother, I was like, good, you know, good luck on your training. I'll see you there, blah, blah, blah. He's like, yeah, I haven't even started. I was like, yeah, me neither. But, you know, I just got on my bike for the first time. So it was pretty neat. So that'll be one of my goals, is to beat Don.
I was going
to
say, so I know your goal that the questionnaire that I had you as, like, with the other people that were, that are interested, fill out that questionnaire. And your goal was to beat Kevin's ass.
Yeah. Oh, that's always
the goal. And I'm like, you know, yeah. I'll train you just to be right there. But,
well, yeah, but if you don't train me to beat you, you haven't done your job. No, I mean.
But here we go. But now we've got a plan. And if, you know, if the owner of Clean Eats is listening, yes, I'm going to coach one of your employees, your best employee, to beat you at the YMCA Wrightsville Beach Triathlon. And it'll be great. It'll be great stuff. So,
yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, I think it'll be a cool challenge. And Wrightsville Beach is somewhere that is very, very special to me. My family had we had a condo on Wrightsville Beach growing up. It had been owned by my stepmother's dad, and he bought it like when the building first opened. Jeez. Like back in the 70s. And so when he passed, he left it to her and her 2 brothers. And then, she and my dad eventually bought out the other 2 brothers. And so we had it. I mean, and dude, I had vacation there since I was a little kid. And it was really, really cool to take my girls back, you know, because my parent, my dad and my stepmom, they, you know, they stripped it down to the studs and completely rebuilt this thing. And it was amazing. It was a great spot. And it was right on the water, right next to the Holiday Inn Sunspree there in Wrightsville Beach.
Yep.
And
love that part of the island.
God, man, it's awesome. And you know, so a couple of years ago, they sold it.
Oh, no.
Which, yeah, I mean, it was heartbreaking, you know, but I understand it. You know, the building's getting old. It wasn't necessarily, you know, they had started to kind of let it slip a little bit. And, you know, the cost of upkeep on these things is not cheap. And even though they're Wilmington residents, you know, they were renting it out, doing the VRBO or Vrbo.
VRBO, Vrbo, whichever.
Same the thing. First time they said Vrbo tomato, on the commercial, tomato. I almost fell off the couch. I was like, what the hell are you talking about?
You were this year's
yeah,
old when you
yeah, saw it. Yeah, I was today years old when I saw it. But anyway, you know, so it was a lot. And it was, you know, it was always an investment deal. You know, but I was heartbroken because I wanted my girls to grow up there too. You know, like I had grown up going there. So Wrightsville Beach will always hold a very, very special place for me. And it's hard to vacation anywhere else. So whenever we have a vacation now, we typically hop on VRBO and find a place at the Islander because that's what we know, you know. And like, you know, Carolina Beach is great and Curry Beach is great and whatever. But for me, it will always be Wrightsville.
Yeah.
You know, so to have my first triathlon be there is super special, right? You know, I'll be so comfortable. I know where everything is. I know exactly where we're starting. I know exactly where we're getting out of the water. I know that island like the, you know, like the back of my hand. I've been going there since I was 6, you know. So if it's not going to be in your hometown where you can sleep in your own bed and all of that, Wrightsville Beach, next best place for me.
That's awesome. So do you guys plan on making it a family trip weekend when you
Hell
do it?
Yeah, man. We're gonna make it into a vacation, find a little spot down there on the island somewhere and, you know, go down on Friday, do the little race pickup deal or race packet pickup.
Yep.
And, you know, have a good carb heavy dinner and then race in the morning and stay there for the week.
That'll be for the whole week?
Maybe not the whole week.
Maybe
it's like 4 or 5 days.
Well, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're going to try and do something as well. We have friends that stay on Holden Beach, which isn't too far from it. And yeah, we're thinking about maybe staying there and then going up there on race morning, staying for, you know, down there for a while. So, Well, that's exciting in regards to you stepping into the triathlon world. It's going to be cool to...
Yeah, so we might have to rename the podcast for a couple of months. Two Dads Try.
Yeah. Nah. No.
Nah, two dads run.
Two Dads Run's definitely better. Agree. Two Dads Try. It just sounds dumb.
That could go a lot of different ways.
Yeah, but...
You weren't too keen on the Two Dads Run at first either, but understandable. Our first one... Our first idea, what was it? Run, Dad, Run.
Yeah. And I think we were like, okay, that'll work.
Yeah.
And
then, but there were like too many different.
There were so many.
There was like a website and there was some dude with a YouTube channel that had like 26 followers or something like that. And I was like, yeah, the last thing we want to do is put some work into this and get a cease and desist from a dude with 26 YouTube followers.
I know, right? Just as, no offense, soon as our career was launching, boom, getting shot down. Mm-hmm. So, but no, man. So what you got going on this week up until so you have the birthdays coming up with Kristen and Charlotte. You're going to get in the pool. You're going to ride the bike. What you going to do?
So I got in the pool Monday. Probably won't get back in the pool until, I don't know, maybe Friday, Thursday at best. So get in there, do a little swim Thursday or Friday. Get back in on probably Sunday. Try to go at least 3 times a week, you know, for the foreseeable future. I would really love to get a ride in at some point. I just don't know when that's going to happen. I might be actually riding my bike to work, as there's no gas currently on the, I heard about that this morning. I had no idea because I haven't been watching the news.
It's the dumbest thing.
It is. It really is. I typically watch the news every morning, right? As I'm, you know, drinking my coffee or whatever. I went for a run today, just got back late, got started late. So I didn't see the news. And so my dad calls me. He's like, yo, you better go get some gas right now. I was like, what are you talking about, dude?
That's how the toilet paper situation started.
I was like, I just got gas yesterday in the work van. It's all good, right? And so on the way over here, I get in the car to come over here to Kevin's house. And I notice that, you know, I'm almost to E. Like my light is real close to coming on. So I passed 5 or 6 gas stations on the way here and every single one of them was out of gas in a day. Every single one of them.
So you have no gas in your car now?
Zippy. Well, my gas light will come on probably about the time I leave your driveway.
Try the Harris Teeter gas station. That might be you're not going that way. Yeah, way you're going.
Well, and I don't want to drive around looking for gas either because that seems counterproductive, right? Because if I don't find any, then I'm really screwed.
Well, you could go up that way towards Harris Teeter and it'll get you back on a Kildare, back in a carry.
All right, well, we don't need to discuss directions.
I know, right?
So. On a so podcast, people are like, what okay, the so hell? Like, we have a listener in Bavaria. Thank you for listening, by the way. But yeah, it listens every week, dude. And it's really cool. So this guy's like, what the hell are they talking about? But yeah, no. So there's no gas. So that's unfortunate. Luckily, I live very close to work, number one. And number two, I have this beautiful new bike that I can just, you know, just ride it to work, I guess, if it really came down to it.
Very cool. And you got your helmet.
I got my sweet helmet.
You got your cycling kit.
It's the first time I'm 38 years old. It's the first time I've ever worn a bicycle helmet.
So I know Kristen likes to make fun of you about your fish and your fish tanks. Did she say anything when you pulled up or when you hopped out with your cycling kit and your helmet?
No, it's just par for the course for her. Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah,
it's like something. Here we go again. Because you did rest or you did lifting for a while.
Yeah, so if you guys are not familiar with a powerlifting singlet, it's essentially the same as a wrestling singlet, and I have no qualms whatsoever about wearing some tight clothes. It doesn't bother me. I stretchy pants in the summer, in the wintertime. I love it. I welcome it. I'll be running down the street and some.
There you go, folks. You heard it here.
And some stretchy pants, no problem. Shout out to Max Tuning. He makes some awesome stretchy pants. ever forward. But yeah, man, I have no problem throwing on, you know, so that's just, it's normal. It's a normal day at my house for me to come running down the steps in, you know, some
small running shorts.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me at all. No problem.
Well, that's cool. And yeah, I know you're going to have to get used to a bunch of new gear though, because you have your cycling kits, you have your triathlon kits, and then we'll see, but or you might have to wear a wetsuit in one of these open water races too.
No, see, I ain't doing that. That's not happening.
No, we can get you there.
No, it really won't happen.
Wearing a wetsuit or open body? I mean, we're going to be doing the
intercoastal. Swimming in anything cold enough that I actually need a wetsuit.
Oh.
Intercoastal in late September, it's going to be 80 degrees.
Well, you don't ever want to hop in a wetsuit when it's like hot as balls outside.
That's what I'm saying.
But when it's actually, when it can be, when like the temperature can be wetsuit legal, because the races won't allow you to wear the wetsuit if it's above a certain temperature. So, but you kind of sometimes with those races where it might be on the border, you're like, you know what? A wetsuit would be cool because it really does help you in the swim, keeps you a little more buoyant.
Yeah. Well, I have no, it's not the wetsuit. Don't get me wrong.
But you just don't want to
Like
be in that much discomfort.
60 degree water? No, that ain't happening, bro. That's what I said.
50.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
That's never, ever going to happen. And you're an idiot, quite frankly.
So a buddy of mine who's actually going to be traveling with me, with Adria, his name's Steve Leach, and he's going to be also one of the guys, one of the crew. So you can bring a crew down, but then you have only one person as a captain, and Adria's going to be the captain, but he's going to be a guy that comes down, and he used to swim for the Junior Olympics and then the Olympic team with Scotland. So he made it to like their trials like a long time ago. He's a couple years older than us, but he's going to help me with my swim form, but then also help me get my body just kind of acclimated to the cold water. So he's already been sending me pictures of these ice barrel chests. It's just, they look like these big bourbon, but they're plastic, these big bourbon barrels, and you just fill them up with water and ice and grab like a small step stool and you step in it and do it a few times a week. But even if you're not even trying to get your your temperature, your body temperature acclimated to that, it's supposed to be very healthy for you. So that's the next investment. I'm so sure
it's healthy to be in ice cold water.
So
yeah, you have fun with that.
Yeah, well, it's about, you know what? It's going to be summer too, so it'll be great. It'll be great, but I'm going to need to do it when it gets fall and get a little colder too.
Whatever you have to tell yourself, bro.
So if anybody wants to come join Ice Bass?
Yeah, I'm sure that line's going to be long.
So, no, it'll be good stuff, but so we've got some cool things coming up though, Gray. We've got some pretty neat interviews. One that we plan on doing in person.
That yeah, I really cool. hope that one works out. We had it on the books, and you know, we had to kind of pivot.
There you go.
Word of 2020. Yes. We had to
2021.
Well, right. Same thing.
Yeah,
we're still here.
Yeah, I know. Right? It's still the same.
We're still here. but yeah. So I was really hoping to do that one live. So hopefully we can get some scheduling worked out. May is just such a crazy time. Yeah, for me personally, but I know it's that way for a lot of people. So, you know, hopefully we can get it worked out, because that one would be a lot of fun.
Yep.
And he's a pro.
Yeah, like, no, this will definitely be fun.
He does this for a living, right?
Which
is going to be scary as hell.
That's a shame.
Yeah, you're going to have a professional, a guy who does this for a living, sitting across from us.
Yep.
Oh.
But, you know, it should be good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
To just know like how bad right now we suck,
yeah, or
about how much we need to improve. No, it's been fun, but
I think we're getting better.
No, it's definitely
10 weeks in, double digits.
Yeah. Double digits. Yeah, consistency has been very key. It's been cool holding each other accountable on late nights. I mean,
sometimes it sucks.
We did a couple, to like close to midnight.
Yeah.
Or after midnight.
Yeah, and then I got a 30-minute drive home.
Yeah.
25.
Yeah. Yeah.
Close enough.
It's for the people, man.
Yeah. It is for the people.
No, it's just been fun.
All 10 of you.
It's down. No, it's up.
Let's see how long I can ride that joke.
Yeah. I mean, is it 10 episodes
straight? Yeah, we're 10 episodes strong so far. Yeah. I think I've used that joke on every single episode.
I guess we have to start coming up with awards for stuff like
so
that.
So we already have a
T-shirt.
We have a T-shirt which commemorates your
probably one of the most dumbest
episode two pharmaceuticals. That's interesting. That's a booming industry right now.
When that just makes no sense. When
that's okay. And then my what's up, everybody? Which episode was that? One or two? That was early.
The first, maybe one or two.
I think this is the first episode that I've actually gotten the intro down.
Yeah, no.
So it only took 10.
Lots of mistakes learned early on and then improving on. And just, you know, like with your training this week, man. So you've got swimming, biking. You're going to do all three this week, swim, biking, and running. Yeah. So looking forward to. Well, so what's next? You going to get any type of new gear leading up to next week?
No. I'm geared out for a minute. But yeah, no, I mean, the cool thing about that I've seen so far, even though I haven't done a training ride on the bike, is I am looking forward to it. So there is that, you know, you have the different elements, almost a little bit like powerlifting, where you have the three different disciplines. So you have stuff to keep it fresh, right? So it's not like running all the time, which I enjoy, you know, for reasons we've discussed on this podcast 1,000 times. But, you know, there are the different disciplines. There's the different movement patterns. There's the different fitness levels that are required for all three. And I just think that'll help keep it. And there's going to be two of them that are completely brand new and foreign to me, you know, with different challenges in each to overcome. So there's that mental aspect of it for two of them that are going to be a really big hurdle to clear. And I think that'll help. I think that'll definitely help keep me, you know, hold myself accountable. I know you'll be there to hold me accountable as well. And I like to think that I'm fairly coachable. I guess you're going to find out.
We'll see. As I started thinking about the plan, I'm like, you know what? Already, with the questionnaire, he's already know.
Do I have to do this? He sends me this questionnaire, and I'm like, dude, I've known you for 20 years. Do I have to do this?
I know, but I'm like,
but just I get
follow
it.
Follow the process.
I get it. I know. And
you know, because
when I was already pushing back when we were talking on the phone yesterday about the swim, and you're like, do some drills and stuff like that. I was like, bro, I just want to be able to make it.
Oh, 100. I know, right?
So I was here like, man, and so we hung up the phone. And I was like, damn, I'm already like being the difficult athlete. So, and I can, and for those of you that know me at all, know that I can be a little bit of a diva. So
the training, it's going to be something different, because with your running, it's going to be more so the time, how much you go out.
Yeah.
And what I like to do is I like to do zone training also, where how far you need to be or how long you need to be training in each zone versus, you know, go out and like what you were doing for running. So it's going to be somewhat similar, but
I'm going to hate that.
It's going to be different. And then, you know, cycling, goodness, man, get used to being on the saddle, especially. But that's going to be the fun piece.
Yeah.
Because you can't lose, you can't win the race in the swim. You can lose the race in the swim, but you can never win.
You're the second person in 2 days that told me that. My buddy that I used to work with a long, long time ago, I think he ran track at Marshall, but a dude named DJ worked in amphitheaters with my dad and my brother, and we worked together on the bottom of the totem pole, like back in the early 2000s when he was just kind of out of school. And he said the same thing yesterday. He's like, you can't win the race in the swim, but you can certainly lose it.
Yep.
So I'm starting to think that might be true.
In the cycling, you are on the cycling for the most part of the race. So that's where you want to feel the most comfortable.
Wow.
Most comfortable. I know, right?
Most comfortable.
Most comfortable.
Yeah, there we go.
It's getting pretty late.
Yeah.
And then the run. And then, but see, that's going to be your biggest arsenal is your runs, because that's where a lot of the ground is actually made up. That's where you start to see a lot of guys start to crack is in the run. And then the run being your favorite one of the three, and the one where you do pretty well, that's where you'll start to make up.
Yeah, unfortunately, I only have 3 miles to do it, though.
Well, but you'll be amazed, because it's, you know, that first mile hopping off of a bike, everybody's legs are, you know, like you're a baby giraffe. I mean, you're just kind of, you forget how to run, but you'll be able to get used to it just because that's kind of like your foundation.
Yeah.
But no, you'll be amazed. Also, too, because that first mile, you're trying to get your legs underneath you, and your quads are just—they're on fire and they're huge because of you've been on the bike. But you think you're going super slow. you'll wear your watch, so you'll kind of know your timing. But I try to refrain from versus like waiting till at least you hear that first mile beep, yeah, and then start looking at your watch afterwards. But that first mile,
we know how that worked out for me in my half marathon.
I know, I know, right? But
I got a feeling it won't be a 6:24 mile though.
But you'll be amazed. It'll be. I feel like every time that's happened to me, it's always been my fastest mile. But then you're able to maintain, if not even get a little better. So you'll end up having your runs very similar to what you just did, if not faster, even after those two disciplines.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, if swimming doesn't make me a better runner, I don't know what will. I mean, that is some serious cardio. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that translates over to the run. It's like our boy Alan Webb was a swimmer first. He didn't even run until like sophomore year of high school. Jeez. Something like that. Just monster. So anyway, but yeah, so we're at 55 minutes. Let's wrap this joker up. Thank you guys for listening. We really appreciate it. Thank you to those of you that have checked us out every week. We greatly appreciate it. Thank you to our producer, Eric. He does all the hard work to
Eric
make
Hollister,
us. Eric Hollister. Yeah, man. He, in between riding the Velociraptor coaster that just opened up, he takes a break from his roller coaster riding to make us sound like not complete idiots. And so we really appreciate the time. He's the third leg of the Two Dads Run podcast here. And if you guys want to check us out on social media, you can do so. We are at Two Dads Run Podcast on Instagram and YouTube. Also, Two Dads Run Podcast on Facebook. I think I got all that right. But you can reach out to the show if you'd like. TwoDadsRun@gmail.com, or we have our own personalized email accounts. Gray@TwoDadsRun.com or Kevin@TwoDadsRun.com. I think I'm missing one. What am I missing?
And that's it.
Give us a thumbs up, give us 5 stars, and subscribe to the podcast. Thanks again, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Bye.